Good afternoon. Live from 4th Street in downtown Louisville, WFPK presents our weekly live music showcase, Live Lunch. And now, from our performance studio, here's your host, Laura Schein.
Thank you so much, and thank you for being here. This room is filled with some serious Warren Haynes fans, and we're going to bring up Warren here in just a moment. We want to thank our sponsor for today's broadcast, the 10th Annual Kentucky Derby in Waterfront Park. That is tomorrow, September 28th. Well, this gentleman that we have for you today is playing with Government Mule, and they're playing tonight at the Brown Theater. They have a brand new album. It just came out this week. It's amazing. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. It's called Shout on Blue Note Records. We are really thrilled to have this guitar legend with us right now. Will you welcome, please, to FBK's Live Lunch, Warren Haynes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. How's everybody doing?
Me too.
So everybody's coming to the show tonight, I'm assuming. It's not mandatory. Or is it? Maybe it is. I don't know. Highly recommended, but not mandatory. So I'm going to be doing a bunch of songs. Well, not a bunch. Some songs from Shout, the new Government Mule CD. But there's only about three that I can actually play by myself without a band. And even those don't really represent what Shout is all about. So I'll probably do some older songs and stuff too, and maybe even a cover. But thanks for being here, and hope everybody likes their sandwich. This is called When the World Gets Small.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So I guess we'll talk about Shout a little bit later, but the new Government Mule CD is two discs. Disc one is all Government Mule, 11 brand new songs, and disc two is a bonus disc with the same songs but alternate versions sung by a lot of good friends and a lot of my favorite singers. And the bonus version of that song was sung by Steve Winwood. And the bonus version of the song before that is sung by Jim James of My Morning Jacket. So, just thought I'd throw that in there.
Through my head,
here come the man, and they say the show must go on. And all you got to do is ring the bell and step right up. Like a ballerina, grab it, catch it, try it, fry it, come on and dive. Grab it, catch it, fly it, sigh. Come on and try.
Thank you.
Thank you. I was walking through and I saw the big picture of Van Morrison in the hallway or in the studio in there, and I thought, oh, maybe I'll play a Van Morrison song. So it's a big one too. It's like I could have easily not seen it had it been not, you know, my company. All right, what do I do now? Okay. So a couple of years ago, I guess, I released a solo record called Man in Motion, and I'm going to do one song from it now anyway. Darkness hides the faces of weep of the power. We don't need to be rich, we all need to be free. Chains of oppression never gonna break, but a day will come when we hold the key. Time will remind us that the people still have a voice. We don't want violence, and kill, there's no other choice. But the river's gonna rise, wash our struggles away. Oh, you know the sun is gonna shine, shine down on a brand new day. Bells will be ringing, flames reaching to the sky, higher and higher, fueled by the winds of change. Sweet taste of freedom, fresh on the tips of our tongues, and the dust of the past is all that shall remain. Echoes of our voices ringing all through the town. We'll drown out the memories of the days we were bound. River's gonna rise, wash our struggles away. Yeah, you know the sun's gonna shine, shine down on a brand new day. We're gonna rise up singing like a bird on the wing, a million hearts beating to the rhythm. life a new day brings. River's gonna rise, wash our struggles away. Oh, you know the sun is gonna shine, shine down on a brand new day. I said the sun is gonna shine, shine down on a brand new day.
Warren Haynes on WFBK's Live Lunch. Yeah. He and his band Government Mule playing tonight at the Brown Theater. Show starts at 8 o'clock. They have a new album called Shout, and we're going to talk with Warren about that, among many other things, here in just a few moments. Well, WFBK Radio Louisville's Live Lunch series is made possible by contributions from WFBK listeners like you and by the 10th annual Kentucky Derby in Waterfront Park, Saturday, September 28th. Thanks also to the City Cafe with citywide delivery for any event for providing lunch for our members today. Next week on Live Lunch, another monster guitarist, Kelly Ritchie Band. They're going to be here. That's going to be a great one. Please make your plans, and you can go to our website, WFBK.org. And see who's going to be here in the next few weeks, and also listen to past programs. Again, that's at WFPK.org on our Live Lunch page. We're going to talk with Warren. Warren, first of all, thank you so much for being here. I know you've been extremely busy touring and all that.
Nah.
Just a rumor.
It's a rumor. It's overrated. being busy, you know. But I'm glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Our pleasure. Now, you guys have signed with Blue Note Records. That's Don Was. He's like president of the label now,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
It's a whole new Blue Note.
Yeah. How come Blue Note? I mean, how did that come about?
Well, we financed this record ourselves the way we financed the last Government Mule record and my solo record as well. We paid for everything and made the exact record that we wanted to make. And in the case of these three records that I mentioned, at the end of the process, we would make a short list of labels that we thought might be interested in doing some sort of merger. And if somebody was very excited about it, then we would do that. We also have our own label that we put records out on if we don't feel like somebody can bring something to the table that we can't do ourselves. The way the thing started with Blue Note is a couple years ago, when I did the Blues at the White House thing with Mick Jagger and Jeff Beck and B.B. King and Buddy Guy. Don was there. He was there with Mick Jagger. And we had a conversation, and he told me he was taking over Blue Note, and we were just kind of socializing. And I asked him, so what kind of stuff are you going to be signing? Is it all jazz? Is it all instrumental? And he said, no, it's going to be different. And he said, as an example, I could make a record with you. And that's when the initial seed was planted. So we just kind of stayed in touch. And then when midway through the recording of this record, we called Don and said, hey, you know, this is what we're doing. And he was very excited about it. And so we started playing him some music, and he got really excited and said, yeah, I want this record. Let's make this happen. So that's what happened.
That's what happened. And the new album's called Shout, which came out this past Tuesday. It's a double disc album. It's kind of a concept record. It's really, really cool. I mean, I was looking at it this morning. I couldn't believe the list of artists that are on this album. Just fantastic vocalists. I wanted you to maybe talk about sort of the idea behind it.
Well, we didn't go into the studio thinking that we were going to make a two-disc release, nor did we go in thinking we were going to have any guests. We just went in to make a record, and one by one, these seeds started being planted. What if we had so-and-so sing part of this song and so-and-so sing part of this song? The first three that came about were mostly because of how different the songs were. I had written this song called Funny Little Tragedy that sounded different than anything Government Mule had ever done. And it reminded me of like early Elvis Costello or The Clash or something along those lines. And I was even not sure that it should be a Government Mule song. When I played it for the guys, they were like, oh, we should absolutely record this song. So we recorded it, and I listened back to it and thought, it sounds like us, but it also sounds like the stuff that I mentioned. So I sent an email to Elvis Costello, who I've become friends with in the last few years, just seeking his advice on how to get the proper vocal song for a song like that that I had never done before. And he sent me a long email. Basically, the short version of it is, you should use a really cheap microphone.
For a special and, vocal effect?
Well, he said those early records they made were so low budget. They made them in 8-track studios with the cheapest gear, and the budgets were so low that none of the studios even had expensive microphones. And he said, that's that sound. So if you really want to get that sound, use like a $100 microphone. So I did, and then I called him back, and I was like, wow, that sounds great. But from that point forward, I started thinking, I sure like to hear him sing this song. But I hadn't kind of crossed that bridge yet. So then there was another song called Stoop So Low that we wrote as a tribute to Sly and the Family Stone Fresh. We were recording during the 40th anniversary of that, and we thought it would be nice to do some sort of tribute. And we recorded it, and we listened back to it. Somehow I started thinking about Dr. John, and we were going to be on tour with Dr. John a few weeks later. So that seed was planted. That was number two. And then we wrote this other song called Scared to Live that started out as like a McCartney kind of ballad. And while we were in the studio, it turned into this reggae song. And the last section that we wrote and recorded for the song really sounded like Toots and the Maytals. It kind of had that vibe. And coincidentally, Toots had called me about playing and singing on his new record. And I thought, well, wow, I should get Toots to come in and sing the bridge to this song. So now we had three ideas, but we had not done anything about it yet. So I went home that night, was looking at all the titles, and thought, if we ask these guys to sing a small part of the song, it's kind of like a waste to have them sing just a little piece. So why don't we get them to sing the whole song and make a bonus version? And then at that point, the idea became, well, why don't we just do that for every song? So I sent an email to all the guys in Government Mule and said, tell me if I'm crazy, but I think we're going to make a double record.
Yeah, so the first disc is all Government Mule. And then the second disc is all the same songs, yes, but with all these great artists. Yeah,
different versions, different arrangements, yeah, and different lengths. The Dr. John version of Stoop So Low is actually longer, but most of them are shorter because I wanted to kind of feature the vocalist and the songs a little bit more and have a little bit less jamming than the Government Mule versions. But it's all us playing. There's no guest players, only guest singers.
Yeah. So some of the other artists on there, including Elvis Costello and Dr. John, Dave Matthews is on it, Grace Potter, Ben Harper. Let's see, who else did I have written down here? Miles Kennedy, Steve Winwood, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's a wonderful array of great singers. I basically chose who I thought, other than myself, I would really love to hear sing each song, and started making phone calls. And by accident, it wound up being half people that are older than me and half people that are younger than me, which I think is kind of cool because you get a sense of who I've been influenced by, but you also get a sense of who I kind of am listening to now.
Mm-hmm. Jim James is on there too.
Yeah, Jim sounds amazing. And Jim and I did the Love for Levon, tribute to Levon Helm together. And I'd known Jim for a long time and always loved his voice. But hearing him sing band songs by the band, is what made me think of getting him to sing that particular song, because I heard a different side of his voice that I'd never heard before.
Mm. Now, the Love for Levon benefit, that's going to be on DVD. Is that coming out soon? Or
I think so. It may even be out. I saw it on Access Television or Palladia or something, so I know it exists. But I'm not sure about the actual release of it. But it was really great. The artist roster was tremendous, and everybody did a wonderful job.
Was Levon Helm a friend of yours?
Yes, a close friend. We played together many times. And, of course, he's someone that I admired and grew up listening to long before I ever met him. And I think I met him somewhere around 91. Mm-hmm. We played together a lot, and we celebrated his 70th birthday together at Mountain Jam, which is the festival that I co-produce in upstate New York. And we had a lot of great guests then. We had Ray LaMontagne and Steve Earle and Donald Fagen and Alison Krauss and all these people singing with us for that. And it was fabulous.
You've done so much. You're one of the hardest working men in the music industry. It's pretty amazing.
Done so much and hardest working are different. I don't mind people saying you work hard, but I don't really. I work a lot, but I don't work hard. I love what I do. So somebody that digs a ditch for 4 hours a day works harder than I do. So, but I appreciate you saying that. I've been very fortunate to have a long-lasting career that's in a better place than it's ever been.
And I want to talk more about that career after I guess we have you play a couple more tunes.
Sure.
That'd be awesome.
Good.
Warren Haynes on WFBK's Live Line.
All right. Thank you very much. This is an old traditional folk song that Government Mule turned into a rock and roll song, and I'm gonna do it a little more like the original version that I heard when I was 14 years old. father, he came home from work. Said, where's my daughter? What's troubling her? Went upstairs to give her hope. Her down and on her bosom these words were found. Oh, dig my grave both wide and deep. Take a marble stone and place it at my head and feet. And on my breast place a white snow dove and tell the world that I died for love. Won't you tell the world that I died for love? Thank you very much. Sad song. I literally used to sneak into these folk clubs when I was 14 years old in Asheville, North Carolina, where I grew up. And you couldn't get away with that now, but somehow we did back then. And I met all these singer-songwriters and folk singers and became friends with them because I was a little kid and they had no choice. And so some of the folks that I met wound up showing me that song and a lot of other songs, a lot of old traditional folk songs. And that one just stayed with me. A lot of times when I pick up an acoustic guitar, I'll just kind of gravitate toward playing that song. And that's what led to it eventually becoming a Government Mule song. Now, in the tradition of that, I'd like to play a song that I wrote, that the Allman Brothers recorded. Actually, just myself and Derek Trucks recorded it on an Allman Brothers record.
People, when the rain comes, it's gonna wipe. washes on away from him.
WFPK's Live Lunch. Now we're going to talk with Warren just a little bit more. He and his band Government Mule are playing tonight at the Brown Theater. Show starts at 8 o'clock. They have a brand new album, just came out this week. It's called Shout. It is a double disc album with lots of special guests on it, including Ben Harper, Elvis Costello, Jim James, Dr. John, Toots Hibbert, and many others. So Warren, I wanted to ask you a little bit about growing up in Asheville. You mentioned the age 14. That sounds like that was a pretty pivotal year for you.
It was, yeah. It was the year that I decided that I could play and sing in front of an audience, which was pretty scary. I was at the aforementioned club one night, and somebody said, hey, this kid plays, we should get him up to play. And I was extremely nervous. And it wasn't my guitar. I got up and played somebody else's guitar. This is a really bizarre story. I don't know why I even thought of it. But there was two guys playing on stage, and one was left-handed. But he strung his guitar backwards. So he gave me his guitar, so when I turned it over right hand, it was normal. But I was playing a left-handed guitar, which meant all the controls were on the top and everything was backwards, and it was the first time I ever played in public. and so, as if that wasn't bad enough, I played one or two songs with him, with myself and his partner, and then he came and took his partner's guitar. So now he's playing a right-handed guitar left-handed, and I'm playing a left-handed guitar right-handed. And midway through the song, it kind of dawned on us, like, this is kind of backwards. But it was too late. We couldn't do anything about it.
Any recordings of this, by chance?
Oh, no, thank God. It's recorded in my mind very, very deeply, buried very deeply, I should say. But I kind of got the bug and really liked playing in front of an audience. You know, I mean, it's not like I didn't know that I would. I think, you know, I'd been working myself up to that day. But somebody else was the one that made it happen. It was, you know, if it were up to me, I was so nervous and shy, I would have probably waited another 10 years or something.
So when did you start playing guitar? What was your first guitar?
I started singing when I was about 7 or 8, and I was just listening to soul music, the Four Tops and the Temptations and Otis Redding and Wilson Pickett and Sam and Dave. And my brothers were listening to the Beatles, so I was listening to that as well. And then when I was 11, my oldest brother got an acoustic guitar, and I think I played it more than he did. And so for my 12th birthday, my dad got me an electric guitar, which coincided with me hearing Jimi Hendrix and Cream and Johnny Winter and stuff that made me want to not stop singing but add guitar to the repertoire, so to speak. So that was it was a big deal to me. My father worked very hard and always made sure that I had a little bit better guitar and amp, you know, because he could tell I was very passionate about it.
What'd your dad do for a living?
He worked in a grocery store when I was growing up, and then it was a chain, and had worked his way up from the time he was 16. And then the chain dissolved all the grocery stores in the South, and he was faced with moving out of the South or starting over. And he chose starting over and started working in a factory. With, you know, at that point he had 3 kids, was divorced, raising 3 kids, and working with people that half his age that had seniority over him, which was a hard thing for someone to do, but that's what you do when you got to feed your family.
That's right. So you had kind of a pretty big break when you started playing for David Allan Coe.
A pretty scary break. and we played in Louisville a lot, so I'm sure some folks listening probably were even at some of those shows and know exactly how scary it was.
You're about, what, 20 years old when this took place?
I was 20, yeah. I was 20. I was a peace-loving hippie kid from the liberal part of Asheville, North Carolina, and got thrown into the fire and was instantly thinking, wow, I think I should have gone to college after all. But I learned a lot from that experience. You know, he's a great songwriter and gave me a wonderful opportunity. I played on a lot of his records and was able to study how studio musicians worked in the studio and study how songwriters kind of studied their craft. And it immersed me into a world that I had not been a part of yet, which was country music. Mm-hmm. You know, because I grew up listening to blues and jazz and even folk music and rock and roll music. But I just started to appreciate, like, what a great singer George Jones was and Merle Haggard was. And then I got this call from him, and it was an opportunity. And a bizarre one, but an opportunity. And that's what led me. He introduced me to Dickie Betts and Greg Allman, which eventually led to me being in the Allman Brothers.
Yeah, the Allman Brothers. And then, of course, Government Mule, your own band, and several others. And did you ever think Government Mule would go as far as it has in your wildest dreams?
We didn't. No, we started Government Mule as a side project. Alan Woody and myself were full-time members of the Allman Brothers, and the Allman Brothers only played a small part of the year, so we had plenty of time to do something else. So we started Government Mule as a experimental project to kind of, in our own minds, bring back the improvisational rock trio like Cream and the Hendrix Experience, because we felt like no one was doing that. But it wasn't like we had designs on doing it for the next 20 years or for the rest of our lives or making a fifth record or a 10th record or any of that. We were just doing something for fun and taking it one step at a time. And so now when I look at the progression that the band has taken, I guess it's all natural, because every record is different than the one before it. We're always kind of exploring and acknowledging influences that weren't on the last record and that sort of thing. And I think now going back to Shout, Shout is a culmination of the past 19 years.
And it's a great album, and it just came out this week. And we're going to let you get back to playing a couple more tunes for us. Warren Haynes and Government Mule tonight at the Brown Theater. Let's welcome them once again to FBK's Live Lunch. Thank you, Warren.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm going to do one more song, and then I'm going to go to my day job. I'm going to send this one out to Elvis Costello, and in thanks of him being part of our record. This is a song that I was somewhere doing something like this, and somebody yelled it out as a request, thinking I probably didn't know it. And
so funny to be seeing you after so long, girl. But the way you look, I understand you were not impressed. Well, I heard you let that little friend of mine take off your party dress. Sticky Valentines, 'cause I don't know if you were loving somebody. I only know it isn't mine. Allison, I know this world is killing.
On WFBK's Live Lunch. Standing ovation here at the studio. I'm Laura Shine. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend.